Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Indie Business Podcast. I am so excited to have you here. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. Did you know that there was a company out there that could help you grow your business by making some of the cosmetics that you sell to your customers so that you don't have to make everything yourself? If it's time to expand, it may just be time for Essential Wholesale. Check it out at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, you know, the publishing industry is in a constant state of change these days. It seems like after hundreds of years of everything sort of rolling along the way it always has, today the publishing options for everyone are almost unlimited. The sky is really the limit, which means you can do just about anything you want when it comes to publishing your thoughts, your ideas, sharing them with the world in a variety of different formats, whatever works for you, whatever works for your customers. But, you know, a book in whatever format is always, I think, going to be a go-to source of information for just about everyone. But you know what? It comes in a lot of different forms these days. And not only that, you don't need a traditional publisher to publish your own book. You can do it yourself. And today's guest is going to share some of her tips to help you get that done. 2011 may be your year. Her name is Andrea Constantine. She is a writer, speaker, and artist who has co-created the books Speaking Your Truth, Courageous Stories from Inspiring Women, and also How to Bring Your Book to Life This Year, an exploratory guidebook on writing and self-publishing. And that book was written with her business partner, Lisa Schultz. Andrea believes that having a book is one of the biggest accomplishments of an individual's life and is one of the most rewarding goals a person can ever complete. She's honored to work with so many talented writers to help them share their messages, and she's going to help us out today right here on the Indie Business Podcast. Welcome, Andrea.
Hi. Thanks, Donna Maria. Thanks so much for having me on the call today. I'm excited to share some information with your listeners.
Well, tell us, Andrea, how did you come to write this book? Did you have a business first of some kind and you decided to write a book, or have you always wanted to write a book? Give us the story there.
Well, I think I've always wanted to write a book. Like so many people, the statistic is that 81% of the population actually wants to write a book at some point. So I was always a part of that 81%, but I just never knew what book to write, and I never knew how to write, and I never knew what topic was going to be the right topic to write on. So I kind of stuffed that dream and put it aside and said, okay, when the time is right, I'll know. And I started a business about 5 years ago, so I've been an entrepreneur since 2005 and had a couple of businesses through the last 5 years. And my most recent venture was doing marketing coaching. And as I was doing marketing coaching, a call for entries to be in an anthology came through my email, and I decided, okay, here's my chance. I want to be a writer, so why not start with just writing a story? It's simple. It's a few pages. It's not going to kill me. And that's what I did. I submitted my story to Lisa Schultz, who it happened to be I was the actual first submission that she received for the book that she was putting together. And after she read my story, she was so inspired and wanted to make sure that the project moved forward. So she asked me to be a partner with her on Speaking Your Truth. And from there, we co-created the first book together, Speaking Your Truth, Courageous Stories from Inspiring Women, which is an anthology. We have 49 stories. It's a fabulous book written by women for women. And that was the beginning. That sparked something in me that said, oh my gosh, I had this dream at one time to be a writer, and I wanted to be a writer, but I thought, not me. How can I do that? There's no way. And through that process, through the 9 months it took us to get that book out, I completely morphed. I went from a marketing coach to a freelance writer, and now I'm helping other authors to get their message out there as well. And then from there, people just asked us so many questions. So how do you do this? How do you put the book together? Where did this come from? What's the next step? What do we have to do to get the book out there? And Lisa and I were like, man, should we write a book on the book writing process? And so we did, and we've done that. We started in June, and we actually launched the book in a few November 10th, so we launch it in about 10 days from now.
That's great. So we'll be looking forward to that, and I know the book will be available on Amazon. So you said 81% general of the population is interested in writing a book, why do you think it is that 81% haven't written one yet?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think the first is we sabotage ourselves. I first decided, okay, I really want to write a book about a year and a half ago, and I hired a writing coach. I said, I'm going to write a book. But for some reason, for me, the thought of writing a book was so daunting that every time I tried to write, I was paralyzed. And now I teach my students or my clients that, you know, write a paragraph, write a chapter, write a page. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed by the thought of writing this huge book that we can't write it all. So if you narrow it down and just say, okay, I'm just writing this today, or I'm just going to focus on the smaller step out of the big picture, it can help. So I think that's one reason. And another reason is maybe you don't know what topic to write about, you don't have the support to keep you writing, or you don't know what to do to actually get your book out into the world.
So what is the first step that someone should take then? What do you do when you're part of this 81% and you see people like yourself going in a relatively short period of time? I mean, you said you had a coach for a while and that worked out to some extent, but it sounds like it wasn't until you teamed up with someone else that maybe things started flowing a little bit better.
Oh, the teaming up part for me was definitely the part that made it move so much faster. So Lisa asked me to partner with her in December of 2009. We're only here in November, and we already have two books complete for this year, and I'm working on some other things as well. Partnering up with her totally fueled the process for me. And
so
it was
Andrea,
the first book.
Do you think, Andrea, that if you find the right person, I know that's a big assumption, but let's assume that you do partner with someone, is that one way that some people who may be paralyzed can sort of inject some accountability and some gas into their efforts to move forward?
Yes. If you could co-create a book with someone, you would totally fuel that fire, move forward faster, and overcome a lot of procrastination blocks that we experience as writers.
Good point. Okay, so, collaboration and partnership is so where it's at these days. I guess it really always has been, but it just seems like I think probably with the advent of the Internet and all the social networking tools we have that it's so much more fun, I guess, to find someone to partner with. And when you find the right person, you can really make some progress. So with respect to our listeners out there, Andrea, who have an idea and they're part of that 81%, what are one of the first two or three things that you do to get yourself started?
Well, my rule with people is that they first have to stop saying, I'm not a writer, and start saying, I am a writer. Most of the people who want to write a book will go around saying, I want to write a book, but, you know, I'm not really a writer. And I say, you've got to change that language. Language and the words that you use are so powerful. So the first thing to do is just say, I am a writer. The second thing I would say to do is to start telling everyone you're writing a book and keep putting it out there, because then people will make you more accountable. You know, friends or colleagues will start asking, oh, so how's that book coming along? And that'll keep fueling it. And then another thing is to get support. Don't do it alone. Find a writing buddy. Meet someone at a coffee shop once a week. Hire a coach. Do any of those things. But find someone that you can be accountable to so that you actually get your butt in the chair and do your writing.
Those are really, really good tips. So let's say you've made it to that point. You've got an accountability partner. Or maybe you've even started on your own, because listening to you share those tips and this encouragement has really gotten people started. Where do you go next? Let me ask it this way, because today I know is November is National Novel Writing Month, I think, or something like that, and a lot of people get together sort of online and elsewhere, and they try to pump out a novel or at least a really good draft in a month. And you know, Lisa, I also saw a post on Twitter last week. I can't remember where I saw it exactly. It sort of flew through with everything else, but there's someone out there who is sponsoring a write a manifesto in a month this month. So every day, I think it's 300 words or 400 words a day, everyone in the group is encouraged to write. So at the end of the month, they have sort of a short manifesto about whatever their dreams are, whatever their hopes are, what they'd like to change about the world. But it's not so overwhelming and long. What do you think about some people getting started doing things like that?
I think the National Novel Writing Month or that challenge, the other challenge you mentioned, is a great way to get started. Sometimes you just need something to light that fire. And if you need to participate in a challenge, then I say, by all means, go for it. I don't even write fiction, and I'm considering participating in the Novel Writing Month of November. So I think it's just a great way to be in community with other writers. Other writers are so inspiring, and then just to keep you going towards that goal and keep you moving towards that direction of completing your book.
And, you know, on Twitter, I'll share this. There is a hashtag called I Am Writing. I don't know if you use that, but every now and then when I need some inspiration to write, and I need to write a lot, and I'm sort of stuck or my mind is blank, I'll just go on Twitter and search up that I Am Writing hashtag, and I see all these other people sharing, you know, I just wrote 5,000 words on my blog, or I just wrote, you know, the second chapter in my book, and it's sort of like, well, gosh, if they can do it, then I can too. So that's another tip for encouragement. So Lisa, where do you, I'm sorry, not Lisa, we wish we had Lisa on the show today, Andrea's business partner, but we've got Andrew, and I'll tell you about Lisa at the end. But Andrea, so what happens next? You've got this idea, maybe you're on a roll. What I see people, you know, sort of stop at is, okay, now what do I do? The book's nearly done. Do I print it myself? Do I make it an ebook? Do I give it away? Do I sell it? There's lots of different options. Can you sort of walk through what the main ones are and what we should consider when thinking about each one, Andrea?
Yeah, so there's a lot of options for people, and I think that might be a reason that people become paralyzed too. The first is the traditional publishing route, which for that route you need to have a literary agent. You've got to submit your manuscript or your proposal to see if they'll accept you, and then you work from there. I have not done the traditional publishing route. At some point, I'd love to go that way. But I think as indie business owners, as indies, we really want to have control. And so what I've done is self-published, and self-publishing has made the process go so much faster. If I were to have traditionally published the two books that I'm working on, they maybe wouldn't be out for another year, or maybe even 2 years, depending on the publisher. So this way, as a business owner, we can really get the book out there faster, and I think it's a great tool for people. Now, the difference between doing an ebook, or you said giving it away for free, are also really great ideas. If you gave a book away for free, you'd want to make sure that as an indie, you have it really structured and strategic within the book so that you're leading people back to your offerings and the services that you provide. I think giving away a book is a great list building or lead generating tool. However, there's something really magical about seeing a book in print, and it would need you'd need a big budget to give away in-print books for free, but you could give away ebooks for free. Now, having the book in print is a huge accomplishment. Ebooks are great. They can get passed around pretty easily. They can they're really quick for people to buy, download. They get instant gratification with having it right in their hands. But a real book, when you get to hold your own book in your hands with your name on it, there's something magical that happens for you, and there's actually something that happens for the reader as well, where your credibility with people having a real true paperback or hardback book goes through the roof with other people. So it's such a great client-generating tool as both a paperback book and an ebook, but especially as a paperback book, and that opens the door for speaking opportunities, for building your platform as a writer, for weaving in all the different services and things that you offer in your business, and it's just a great tool in general.
And I'd like for you to comment on this too, Andrea. I know you've heard of Seth Godin, everyone has, the author of so many different books. I think his most recent one, or one of his most recent ones, is called Lynchpin, which is quite popular. After he wrote that book, he published a blog post, Andrea, saying that Lynchpin was his last book that would be published using traditional publishing methods. And in fact, I think he alluded to not even having any other books published in any traditional format at all. In other words, it sounded like they may be all electronic from here on out. Now, of course, no one can second-guess Seth and what he has up his sleeve. Who can know? I'm sure it's going to be interesting. But I'd like to get your thoughts on that. I mean, he's got, you know, I don't know, 12 or 15 hard copy books that are out already, so maybe it's easy for him to say. But outside of that, Andrea, what are your thoughts on that idea? Where do you think hard copy publishing is going, if anywhere, in this age of new technology.
Well, I did see that blog post that's put out there, and I was like, yay, rooting for the self-publishers, because for a while, self-publishers did have kind of a bad rap, and it was looked down upon if you went the self-publishing route versus traditional. And now with big authors like him stepping out and saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and here's the reasons why, I totally agree. Now, the argument over going traditionally, moving away from traditional print books versus moving towards all e-books, I'm not really sure. So I personally don't own a Kindle or a Nook or any of the other devices to read an online book format mobily. However, I know it's a wave of the future, and it's something that we need to consider. But in the same respect, I love my paperback books, and I don't see myself giving them up anytime soon. But I do see that having an electronic version of a book is great for people who travel a lot, who have a lot of books, and it's so much easier to load a handheld device with a whole bunch of books and lug them around in your suitcase. So I think that's one thing. But another thing to touch on with moving towards self-publishing, like Seth mentioned, is that now with social media and the internet and all these other things that we have right at our fingertips, we have the power to market our own books and do it successfully without the help of a traditional publisher. And you get bigger royalties, you get to keep all the rights to your book, you have complete creative control with your book as a self-publisher, and I think there's a lot of benefits to self-publishing. Now, there's also a lot of benefits to traditional publishing, like the mass distribution if you want to get in Barnes & Noble and things like that. But today's authors are really choosing to start off by self-publishing because they can market their book successfully, they can get it out there, and they can reach their audience.
Really exciting points. I'm really interested to see what Seth does next. So, Andrea, when you've decided to go ahead and self-publish, I know your book, and by the way, I want to make sure that you guys know where to get Andrea's book, and we're going to talk about that, Andrea and Lisa's book. But what resources are available, just generally speaking, to help people choose a printer? Because it seems to me that that's probably the biggest investment outside of your time when you're going to be publishing a book yourself. What sorts of things should we consider when choosing a printer, Andrea?
I think there's quite a few things to consider. One is if you want someone locally, there's a lot of local printing options no matter where you live. Two, depends on how many books you want to order. That could make a big difference in your price. But the other thing I want to mention is that today there's a lot of print-on-demand options. Now, there's many people who are against print-on-demand. They think the quality's not there. But I have to say that print-on-demand is a great way for new authors to get started and not purchase 500 or 1,000 copies of their book, stack them in their garage, and then hit the post office once a week to ship them out. Print-on-demand is something that's offered by a few different services, and we have resources on our website for that. But there's a few different services that offer that print-on-demand feature, meaning someone orders a copy of your book, it goes to the company that's doing the print-on-demand, they print the book right there, they ship it, and you don't have to do anything but collect your royalties. And this is a great way for you to be a little hands-off in the printing and shipping process to save you time and money so you're not buying a big bulk of books. But if you're looking to really print the traditional way through a printer, you know, interview quite a few printers, ask them, you know, for books that they've done previously, look at different books that you really enjoy and like on your own bookshelf, take those to your printer, talk about what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see in your book, and as you write your own book, you'll be amazed at how differently you start to look at other people's books, and you go through your bookshelf and think, oh, look at that, that's neat, or this is interesting how they did that. So there's all different types of options, and when you first meet with your printer, you're going to be overwhelmed by the number of paper choices and, you know, the cover choices and things like that.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, that lots of people are coming up with really interesting business models where publishing is concerned. I know I was contacted by a company that takes an upfront fee just to design the book, and they do the artwork and they do the printing, and you pay them to do all of that upfront. And then when the book is available, they do have, I don't know, 500 or 1,000, depending on how many you paid for in advance, they have those printed, they ship them to you, and they don't do any of the fulfillment, but as you sell the book, you actually, they earn a commission and they end up paying you back out of the money that you paid them, so you ultimately can make your money back, and then after you've made your money back, then you split the commission with them. It's a really kind of an interesting notion, and I'm just raising it because as people do their research, Andrea, they're going to find that there's all kinds of different twists and turns that they may discover. What are some of the things we should look out for?
I think there's quite a few things to look out for, mainly how you want the process to go and how much control you want over it, and do you want to choose your cover designer, or do you just want to hand it to somebody and let them do it all for you? There are plenty of services out there that you give them a complete manuscript, they edit it, they put it in layout, they get the cover design, they do all that stuff for you, and you're pretty hands-off. Or you can take a more hands-on approach where you know, say you select your cover designer, you select the person who does the layout for you. You might have a good friend who is a graphic designer who is awesome, or an artist that you know whose cover you want on the front or image you want on the front. So there's a lot of different things to consider. I would first just say that it's important to know how you want the process to go. Do you want to be hands-on or do you want to be hands-off? And then when you look to interview people, ask for references. It's so important to know that the people that you're working with have experience doing it. You know, there's a lot of little things that can go wrong in the book printing process. And for some reason, when there's errors in the actual book itself, they look so much more horrendous in print than they ever do on a computer screen. So you just want the book to be as great as it possibly can be. That's one of the reasons many self-publishing authors don't succeed, is that they have a poorly edited book or a poorly printed book, and that weighs on the credibility factor.
That's a really interesting point, too. And I want to share, too, that one of my members, Debbie Chialtas at Soapy Love, I just got her book in the mail this past Saturday, Andrea, and what she did was she partnered with a photographer. The book is it's like a coffee table book with inspirational stories of soap makers, and so the soaps are beautifully photographed. What Debbie did was she put the book together, she put the stories together, and she partnered with another one of my members who is a photographer, and she took the pictures of the soaps that they featured, and that was the book cover. So there's one way to not have to deal with a designer at all. It's a beautiful cover, and it just has the name of the book and the author with photography by the photographer's name. Simple. It's just centered on the page in Times New Roman type. It probably didn't take very long at all after the photograph was taken. So that's another way to just, you know, keep your costs down and still produce something beautiful.
That's true.
So I love that there are so many options here. Now, one of the things I hear people talk about is, what are all those barcodes on the back of a book, and how do you go about getting those, and how much do those cost? Can you just talk a little bit about what those are and what generally is involved in getting them, or why are they important?
What you're referring to is called the ISBN number, so it stands for International Standard Book Number. And what it is, it's a unique ID that identifies your book with that number. You can easily get these online. It costs about $125, and the barcode is about $10 to $25. So if you just do a quick search for ISBN number, ISBN registration, you can do that. It's important because this is the barcode and number that libraries use, that bookstores use, and it's important if you want to sell the book in any retail outlet, you'll need to get those. Now, if you're just going to sell it online, or you're just going to make it an ebook that you deliver personally, you don't have to get this. But I think any product that you create should have an ISBN number that goes along with it.
And certainly, I suppose it's always nice to have a barcode, because if in the future you do decide you want to wholesale it or whatever, then you have a code that retailers can easily use to sell and track your book.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is just so exciting. So we only have a few left, but what is your tip for once you have an idea, even before you get to the publisher, picking a publisher, let's just say you kind of want to say, okay, let me sit down and see if I can even write a couple of chapters before I go that route. What would you suggest people do? Pick a certain number of words a day, a certain time of day. What basic simple things can someone do, any indies out there listening, just to get started?
I, I think it really depends on you, and I hate to say that because it sounds like a cheap answer, but it really depends on the person. So my mentoring support group, I have them give me a goal depending on what's comfortable for them. Some of them like to say they want to write, for 3 hours. Some of them want to say, I'm focusing on 3,000 words this week. Others want to focus on the number of pages. So you're gonna have to measure how you react to goals and which goal is the best for you. Is it time? Is time easier? Is page numbers? Is word count? What is easier for you? And then find that and stick with it. And just have a writing schedule. If you can, like I said, meet with a friend in a coffee shop once a week, or if you can get up and write for 30 minutes every day, or if you can write before you go to bed, find some kind of schedule that you can stick with and be consistent. And then you'll just know that. I mean, I think someone said a page a day is an entire book. And if you can commit to a page a day, you have a book in a year.
Wow, well, that's, and that seems so simple. And my guess is that once you really get going, a page a day is sometimes just not going to be enough for you, right? Because when you get into it and you'll look, half hour later and you've got 5 pages done.
I agree. I think there's sometimes we have these creative binges where creativity is just flowing through us and it just keeps pouring out. And if so, just go with it. Just make sure to take a break if you are on a binge and don't go for 4 hours straight without stretching or getting up and moving around. And sometimes creativity doesn't happen while sitting at your desk. So if you sit down to write and nothing is coming, take a 20-minute brisk walk outside. Move. Do some exercise. Take a shower. Wash the dishes. All of those types of mindless activities will inspire you and get your brain turning. But sometimes sitting and staring at a blank page with your fingers on the keyboard, it's like, scary. So just move through it by moving your body and getting away from your computer if need be.
Now, Andrea, tell us where we can go, what website we can go to, where we can follow you on Twitter, and all that good stuff.
Our main website for the upcoming book is selfpublishingexperts.com, all one word, all spelled out, selfpublishingexperts.com. There you'll find the link to the How to Bring Your Book to Life This Year book. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Andrea Kost, so A-N-D-R-E-A-C-O-S-T. And on Facebook, our fan page is facebook.com/book to life.
Very exciting. And I know that your business partner is listening and just cheering you guys on. I just think it's fantastic that you partnered with a like-minded person, and that seems to have been like a huge spark for you. Not that you didn't write something before that, but it just sounds like the motor just kicked into high gear when you and your partner got together.
It did. I think if anything changed the course of my life, it was partnering with Lisa Schultz and our relationship together and how quickly we've been able to put books out there and do things.
And it hasn't even been a year, right?
No, it hasn't. December, we'll be celebrating our one-year anniversary of working together.
Now, tell me this. Are the two of you in the same city, the same state?
We are. We're just about 15 minutes apart from each other.
And did you know each other at all before this? It all came about when she asked for submissions and you sent yours in?
It pretty much all came about when she asked for submissions and I sent mine in.
How exciting is that?
It's very exciting.
You guys, there's people in your own backyard. And this is such a good example what Andrea did was she saw an opportunity, she seized on it. It could be someone else if someone else had done it, but Andrea did it, and I think that in and of itself is an inspirational thing for all of us to see, learn from, and emulate. So congratulations to you, Andrea and Lisa, on the publication of your book. Go to selfpublishingexperts.com to learn more. Next week, my guest will be Joe Calhoun. He is a speaker and author of The 1-Hour Plan for Growth. He's going to join us to share how planning aspects of your business on a single sheet of paper can take you and your enterprise and also your life to a whole new level. Get out your pen and paper. We'll be here next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. Let's go. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Andrea?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was great.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.